This is the Thursday evening Bible class with your host, author, and Bible teacher, Dr. Victor Matthews. And we've come to the final lesson in our 10-week series titled Keys to Spiritual Freedom. Our lesson today focuses on the importance of praise and thanksgiving. Study notes for this lesson are available for download from the website at www.drvictormatthews.org. Again, that's at drvictormatthews.org. And now with our final lesson in the series, Keys to Spiritual Freedom, here is Dr. Matthews.
I ask you to take your Bible and turn with me to the book of Psalms once again. We have been enjoying reading in this great book that God has given to us, the book of Psalms, and it is in the Psalm 107 this evening. As I've often said here in the Thursday night Bible class, that the book of Psalms are what we call experience books. And how true that is. We have such a wide range of experiences that are given to us here. It teaches us, of course, that Christianity works and really works the best when we're in trouble. And that ought to remind us of how genuine it really is and the great provision that God has made for us. We understand by looking at the Psalms, and particularly Psalm 107 again, the practicality of the truths that we know from the Bible, how practical it is. And many times we suffer in the Christian life and bring limitations and weakness and hindrance into our lives simply because we are not practical enough with the material. Too often we stop far short of practice. We learn good ideas or doctrines about the Bible, but many times we do not persevere far enough to put those ideas and those doctrines and truths into practice. And that's where often it's very difficult. But it's only then, when we practice the truths, do we receive the benefit that we should and the benefit that God has for us. Not enough to know it. We've got to practice it by faith. And then we receive the benefit. Notice in Psalm 107 that we have a recurring theme, and this is what I want to point out. The introduction, of course, to the psalm is in verse 1, Psalm 107, verse 1. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. So here we have three basic thoughts, and that is how necessary to give thanks to God, and then the reason for it. Because of his character, he is good, and then because of his work or his relationship toward us, which would then be found in the words, his mercy endures forever. Now, this is picked up, as you know, in a number of very practical ways in the book. Notice here in the second verse, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Now he develops a very practical situation, verse 3. He gathered them out of the lands from the east, from the west, the north, from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in, hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. He led them forth by the right way that they might go to a city of habitation. And now the theme, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. Now the psalm starts again with another type of a situation. And then, of course, if you notice in verse 15, when that practical illustration is over, we have the recurring theme, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. And for his wonderful works to the children of men. Then starting in verse 16, we have another very practical little story develop. And then verse 21, the theme again, oh, that men would praise the Lord. And then another development. And then verse 31, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. And then another development. And then the conclusion in verse 43, whosoever is wise and will observe these things, that is the format of the psalm and what the psalm is teaching, will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Now, these passages, and this psalm is only typical of many, many psalms. It's a reminder to us that our wisdom, the wisdom that God has for us, grows out of learning how to practice the truths of the Bible. And that when we do that, something new starts in our life. And that is the experience of the grace of God. How often I've seen people study weeks for weeks on the grace of God, but not know the experience of the grace of God because they are not practicing the truths. Now, we all fall into that. We all have to be careful that we translate the material out of the Bible and not just into our notebook or into our head, but then, of course, out of the notebook or our head, right into life itself. How many times, for example, I have heard pastors say that they tried to teach people how to win souls, and they did it by classes in the church, and it never worked. And now they have learned that to teach people how to win souls, they take them by the hand and they go visiting with them. And they go into a home, and the person will now maybe only carry the tracts, but they will sit there and listen how to do it. And after another couple, 3 days of visiting with the pastor, then the pastor will have them maybe give their testimony or then to explain the plan of salvation. And after a while, the person is doing it all. And then the practice makes the person to experience how to do it. Well, how true that is. Now, you see, the thought here in the psalm is that we do not stop just with the realization of how God has blessed us or protected us, but it develops into a realization of praising the Lord. Now, I have found this matter of praising God and giving Him thanks to be very, very powerful. And I'm sure that all of us here in the auditorium have found that too. The more difficulty I am in, the more discouraged I am, and that happens every once in a while, then the more I find that I need to praise the Lord and to thank Him, to spend time in the practice of praise, in the practice of thanksgiving, of getting off by myself and singing to the Lord and reciting His blessings, reciting the benefits that He has brought, looking back into some times in my life when God protected me, times when He blessed me, times when He rescued me, and then to use that as the basis for praise and thanksgiving, I find that to be a very powerful and a cleansing agent used by the Holy Spirit. Now, we need to stop and ask this evening now, how do we go about this? What is praise and thanksgiving? And I put those two together in a very advised way. What should we do when we think of the matter of praise? So I want to concentrate on these two words. And what I'm talking about, of course, this evening is worshiping God, but I'm trying to approach it from a little different viewpoint. Praise and thanksgiving, of course, has to do, first of all, and always in the Bible, with the very person of God, who He is. And here now I'm thinking about those enduring characteristics that we call the attributes of God. And notice that in all of these times in Psalm 107, where it states, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord," notice now, "for His goodness." Now, the goodness of God develops out of the fact that He is the God of truth and love and righteousness. Now, that's what I mean by praising God for His person, for His character, His moral character. We need to learn to praise God for His work. And by work, I'm thinking now very basically about the decrees of God and how God created the angels. God created the universe that we are learning so much about in these days. God created the human race. We're thinking of the great work of the Lord Jesus of revealing Himself, as I'll pick it up here in a moment then, and for Him to come into the world and His great work in redemption, the crucifixion, the resurrection, the ascension, the day of Pentecost. Think of the great time that's going to, when He's going to come again. One of these great events that we have not yet experienced, but we know from the Bible that that will come about. Now, we need to praise God and thank him for that. Another one, of course, would revolve around his revelation. And this would be, of course, so what we think of as the Bible and how God has caused it to be written now and completed in the day in which we live. Another one, of course, would be all of the way that he has revealed himself to us by way of relationships. And here I'm thinking about salvation. Think what it means to be adopted by God. Think what it means that we can call God Father. All of these different relationships ought to be used as the basis of praise and thanksgiving. And then, of course, the last one that I have here in the list, although there are many more, we can talk about his blessing. Or maybe a better word would be the benefits that he has brought into our life. Well, there are many ways that we can approach this. And in the Psalms, we have a great variety of how this is done. One of the interesting ways of reading the Psalms would be to look for a certain theme and then to write out the theme as you go along. And one very clear theme in the book of Psalms, of course, would be how to praise God and what are we praising God for? And then to keep those two columns constantly going in a little diary that you keep on the reading of the Bible. And I don't know how you do this. Sometimes it's a great help for a person to keep a little notebook, and as you read, then note the day, the date, the passage you're going to read, and then, of course, look for a theme. You can read through the book of Psalms on one theme and then read through the book of Psalms on quite another. And you never run out of themes in the book of Psalms. Read all through it as to how God describes himself, or how God describes man, or as we're saying tonight, how God describes methods of praise, and then why we ought to praise him. You'll be surprised how much more benefit the Bible will bring into your life if you will do that, if you will look for something instead of just reading it in a rather passive way. And praise and thanksgiving is so often found here in this book. Well, let me go on now with the lesson. I'm on page 41. In the introduction, I make the statement that in this series on Keys to Spiritual Progress, we have been impressed as we have studied the Bible with the importance of making spiritual progress in our daily life. Failure to grow as believers is a clear indication of living outside of the will of God. And I hope you can look back now a few months in your life and see some very distinct progress. Now, we don't make progress in all of the areas of our life at the same time, but we usually make progress in one area for a while, and then in another area for a while, and then another area. We have to make sure, however, that we are growing in the things of God. Capital B, we now come to lesson 10 and one of the most valuable of all of the so-called keys. Our topic has to do with worship, and the title of this lesson indicates the two essentials of worship, namely praise and thanksgiving. In a sense, all the other keys of which we have spoken will be understood in practice if we learn to give to God the praise and the thanksgiving of which he's worthy. Well, I have, first of all, now on page 41, the explanation of praise and thanksgiving. What do we mean by it? First of all, a definition now out of the dictionary of theology. Praise may be defined, I state here, as that adoration of God in which he is worshipped for who he is and honored for his gracious benefits. Well, that's a part of what I have on the screen. That's praise. The next definition is thanksgiving. Thanksgiving may be defined as that adoration of God in which he's worshipped in the giving of thanks for his gracious benefits and for being the great God of such infinite goodness and righteousness. Well, as I say in the comment, there's not a great deal of distinction between praise and thanksgiving as far as the definition is concerned. Both are essential facets of that most worthy of all activities, the worship of the true and the living God. Now, maybe you've never thought about it, but to be able to worship God and to do it correctly and biblically is the most important thing that you can do. There isn't any greater, more advantageous, more valuable feat to be performed than to worship God. It produces greater benefits. It brings more freedom and liberty into our life than anything else. Sometimes we have to stop and ask, what is it that's limiting me from worshiping God? Or what is it now when I attempt to worship God, I'm hindered? Well, then we need to take a look at our life and see what it is that may be hindering us. I go on here to my second paragraph. What is highly significant about these words, praise and thanksgiving, is that both of them turn our thoughts toward God and away from ourselves. And it is in that very act that we find the meaning and the value of worship, namely being taken up spiritually with the greatness and the goodness of God. This is so very important that we do that, because all of us now, by our fallenness, our sinful nature, have a tendency to be so preoccupied with ourselves. We all are like that. The basic characteristic of sin, I'm not talking about its definition now, but the basic characteristic of sin is self-centeredness. It causes us to always be thinking about ourselves, and we want life to revolve around us. Now, it's very important that we break that pattern. And one of the easiest ways to break it is to have times in our day, every day, when we deliberately choose to praise and worship and to adore the Lord. Now, I find it's a lot easier for me if I will try to worship the Lord and praise Him and sing to Him and to think about Him at set times of the day, so when things come to pass, then I'm reminded by that, by the events that come to pass. Now, there are certain things that all of us do every day. And I would urge that you think about attaching praise and thanksgiving to some of the things that you do every day. Now, if you take a shower every day, use your mind when you're in the shower to praise and worship the Lord. And after a while, you'll automatically be doing that. If you drive the car every day, most of us do, use that time to praise and honor the Lord. So whenever you get in the car and start out, then you just automatically start to think about that. I find that's very valuable. Now, maybe you do not need all these crutches I talk about here, but I do. I need these canes and crutches to help me to do what I ought to do. Well, down at the bottom of the page now, we build museums and write books to explain and to extol items of cultural value, and that's right. How much more important it is to learn of the greatness and goodness of God and to spend time in worship, praise, adoration, and thanksgiving before Him. As we do so, our experiential relationship with Him is deepened, and we grow in fellowship and in sanctification, something that's quite foreign to the study of artifacts. Now, you can go into the museum and be taken up and say, isn't that wonderful? And I just look at that. Isn't that valuable? But it really doesn't result in this vertical relationship of worshiping God. But now when we learn to practice praise and thanksgiving, that's so much more valuable and helpful for us. Capital B now on page 42, the object of praise and thanksgiving, of course, is the true and the living God, and then His loving kindness. I have the passage here, a couple passages from the Old Testament. Notice the passage, 1 Chronicles 23, reads, the Levites, their office was to wait on the sons of Aaron, that is, the priests, and to stand every morning to thank and to praise the Lord, and likewise at evening. So here now, the Levites were told to do that. They were instructed how to do it. Some of them were in probably a choir situation. And I've often wondered how nice that must have sounded. I'm sure that they had these antiphonal choirs where they would sing back and forth. Some of them played instruments. And that helped the other people now to learn how to sing to the Lord and how to praise God. And I'm sure a lot of what we would think of as the psalms were put to music, and it would result then in this matter of praise and adoration. Well, that's how the worship there at the tabernacle and later the temple was designed. Now, that was designated to help people when they would come to worship, to learn how to do that. Then in the next passage here, the long one from 1 Chronicles 29, "Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name." Well, you see, that's how it's done. Now, I put that in, this long passage, so that we can see how to do that. Now, can we do that? Why, of course we can. Can you do that now, driving down the freeway? Yes, better keep your eyes open, but we can do that now. We can do that driving right down the freeway. We can do that when we can't sleep at night. This is a good way of getting back to sleep, of praising the Lord. The psalmist talks about singing to God at night. Haven't you ever read that passage in the Psalms about songs in the night? Well, who do you think generated those songs? It was the psalmist. He couldn't sleep, so he learned how to sing to God at night. Well, you can do that in your mind. You don't have to wake up the family now, but you can do that now mentally and sing praises to the Lord. Well, there are many ways that we can do this. The important thing is that we do it. We do it. I go on here now with my comment. These passages testify to a significant truth that God is to be praised for who He is, His greatness, and then for what He has done for us, and that is, of course, His loving kindness. Well, that's something of what I have here on the screen. The next paragraph, when we consider the wisdom and the power necessary for the creation of the angels, the universe, the human race, we're overwhelmed. And we must also recognize His greatness in His sovereign support and direction of all things. Perhaps even more important than creation and sovereign control is the amazing plan of redemption and salvation. Now, my next one, we must recognize how thoughtless and sinful we are to know these great truths, and then not to worship God by praise and thanksgiving. Or sometimes we become very calloused to this, very calloused. I remember years ago I was taken by a friend to a man who had a very, very expensive, well-known antique car. If you remember many years ago when the automobile was really getting started, there was this long automobile race from someplace in Russia over to Paris. This very famous race, and they had three or four cars, and the one that ran, of course, one that won, lived through it and won, became very, very famous. And this man had one of those antique cars. It wasn't a reproduction. It was the genuine article, and he had rebuilt it and looked all over the country to get parts. When I went out in his garage and saw that, and he treated it so casually, and I thought, if I had that car, I know exactly what I would do. I'd move my cot out and I'd sleep out here. I wouldn't let that thing out of my sight. And here it's sitting out and he's sleeping in the house. You know? Well, of course you get callous to important things like that, but we may not allow ourselves to get calloused concerning the greatness of God. Just think of the fact that He is a creator of the universe. How wise He must be. How powerful that He just spoke the word and the universe came into existence, wouldn't you like to have been back there to have seen it? Here he just spoke the words and all of the heavenly bodies sprang into existence. And here he had created the angels before then. There wasn't anything physical. He created all the angels. They were not physical. Now we have, when we look at football, instant replay. I wonder whether when we get to heaven we can have instant replay of history. I hope so. I would like to look at the faces of the angels when God made the heavens. I wonder all of the angels crowding around Adam when God created Adam. They'd never seen a person before because Adam was number one. And all of them could get there because they don't take up space. And they were all clustered around Adam and they were saying, "What's that sticking out of his head? His ear. Do you mean he needs ears to hear? And what's that thing in the middle of his nose? Eyes?" They probably pulled the eyelids back and looked in. How amazing creation must have been for the angels. And how calloused we are. The wisdom and the power of God. And here we are with our body, our mind. Well, now, he's worthy of praise like that. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, for us to go day by day and not to give it to him, there is something very wrong about that. And we may not allow ourselves to fall into that very neglectful and calloused way of living. We need to plan. I know it sounds very methodical to you, but we've got to plan times during the day when what happens reminds us to praise the Lord. Well, number capital C now, bottom of page 42. The provision for praise and thanksgiving. What kind of provision has God made for us so we can do that? I have number one, the provision of divine revelation. Notice this unusual passage from Deuteronomy 4. The Lord says to his people, "For ask now of the days that are past. Ask from the one side of heaven unto the other, whether there hath been any such thing as this great thing is, or hath been heard like it. Did ever people," that is, did any person, "ever hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire, as thou hast heard and live? But unto thee it was showed, that thou mightest know that the Lord, he is God, and there is none else beside him." And here God asks the question, "Don't you realize how great the benefits are that I've given you? I've revealed myself to you." And he says there in the book of Amos that you only, the Jews, you only of all nations of the world have I known. That is, that God started out revealing himself through Abraham to the Jewish people. And we owe a great debt to them for that part of the Bible. But here now we are in the day when all of the revelation has been completed and it's ours in book form. We could well write on the last page of the Bible something like this. Has any group of people ever been so honored that God would come and be a member of the human race and live among us and reveal himself and die in our place and be resurrected and invite us to come and live with him forever in heaven? Well, it's a story that we're callous to. It's we've grown callous to this greatest of all stories. We ought not to be now. My comment here at the bottom of the page, no one would have known the true God nor anything more positive about him than a guess derived from nature if he had not revealed himself to us. But God has spoken to us. And as believers, we can praise him and give him thanks. Well, we're developing a little list now as to how we ought to do this, so let me develop it on the screen for a moment. When we're talking now about the provision Provision number one, if we're talking about worshiping God, what kind of provision do we have so that this can be a reality of worship in our lives? Well, first of all, it's the fact that there is this astounding truth, the reality of a historical revelation. Well, I want to turn the page now and go to page 43. Secondarily, we have the provision of salvation, Ephesians 1, talking about all believers having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Notice now, to the praise of the glory of His grace. My comment, the Christian due to salvation is exhibit number one of the glory of God. We are living proof of the sufficiency and the power of redemption. Because we're born again, we have the ability to live for God's glory and to praise and to thank Him. So provision number two now is not only revelation, it is salvation. And here we understand as people born by God's Spirit that that has happened in our lives, and it forms the basis, the ability, we have the ability now to worship and honor, praise, and to thank the Lord for Himself. Number three, the provision of divine providence. In whom, in Christ that is, in whom also you have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. That, His purpose now, that we should be to the praise of His glory. The comment, God has given us an inheritance, which is His grace and His plan, and He has promised to providentially control our life and circumstances so His purpose may be fulfilled for His glory. And our part then is to trust Him and to glorify Him. This is a very astounding verse, and that is that we have not only now the provision of revelation, the provision of salvation, but what we think of as providence. He is, the Lord Jesus, is the governor of all the nations. He worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. He is in charge. Sometimes difficult for us to see that, but He's in charge. He promises now to work things for our good, and as we see here in the verse, Ephesians 1, 11 and 12, that we should be to the praise of the glory of His grace. Well, that ought to be a comfort to us. The next one, number four, the provision of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The verse now from Ephesians 1 again, in whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. Now the purpose of all of that, unto the praise of His glory. So the fourth great provision that we have here is the work of the Holy Spirit in your life and mine. So here we have four, and there are many more, but this is all that I had room for in the lesson. These four stand out in the Bible so clearly as the provision God has made that we might praise Him and thank Him. The great provision of revelation, that is that we can take the revelation of God as many of the writers in the Bible did so well, David particularly, and then use it in our speaking back to God. We can sing the revelation back to Him. We can repeat the revelation of God. Now, some of you who are here that were in that series back in, I think, in 1978, when we talked about prayers and praying. And you remember at that time that I urged you to read the Psalms out loud on your knees in the presence of God where nobody could hear you, and then to be able to discuss those verses with the Lord and to use those verses as the basis of praise. Now that's the way to do it. It's very important that we take the revelation of God that He's given of Himself and now use it to worship and honor and to glorify Him. How can we do it? We're saved people. Does God providentially watch over us so that we can do that? Yes, He does. Has he given us motivation and ability to do that? Of course he has. And the work of the Holy Spirit is a very beautiful picture when we see it here. All of these are designed so that in your life and mine, we might be able to live and be to the praise and the glory of his name. Now, while our basic testimony is the kind of a person we are and our actions, a very important part of that is what we do with our mouth and our mind, that we express worship and adoration to him by praising him. Well, I'm working along here, capital D now. Bottom of page 43, what are some of those things that are associated with praise and thanksgiving in the Bible? This might help us a little bit now. Number one, singing joyfully is associated with praise and thanksgiving. From Psalm 33, sing joyfully to the Lord, ye righteous. It's fitting for the upright to praise him. Well, this is a good verse of instruction. Now, all of us can do this. Number two, the glory of God is associated with praise and thanksgiving. From Psalm 50, verse 23, whosoever offereth praise glorifieth me. Number three, prayer and singing are associated with praise and thanksgiving. The verse, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Well, a part of our prayer can be the matter of praising the Lord. On page 44, number four, another great truth that's associated with praise and thanksgiving is the will of God. The verse, 1 Thessalonians 5, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Many of us are out of the will of God because we do not give thanks. Number five, the offering of sacrifices is associated with praise and thanksgiving. From Hebrews 13, by him, that Lord Jesus, by him therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Now my comment. These passages instruct us in the importance of our theme by showing how praise and thanksgiving are associated with so many vital spiritual functions. The implication is clear. If we want to grow as a believer, we must learn to praise God for who he is and thank him for his continual loving kindness. Well, I suggest it to you this evening now. I urge you to think seriously about how you can do this. Now, we have a natural tendency to be self-centered, to complain, to criticize, to covet. Now, there is a great provision God has made so that we can weaken those sinful areas of our life and turn it around for good, and that is to train ourselves to thank the Lord and to praise him and to worship him. Now, please, work on that, because I know that you'll be a different kind of a person if I can get you to do that. You will be more sanctified. You will have more of the joy of the Lord. You will be easier to live with if you do that. Well, number two now. Some instruction regarding praise and thanksgiving. I'm going to have to hurry with this. We have a biblical sample of instruction in the text, Psalm 100. Notice this beautiful psalm. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Now, there's our theme. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name, for the Lord is good. That's the basis of it. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endures to all generations. Well, this is a beautiful psalm. Number two there, the words expressing praise and thanksgiving. We have such words as joyful noise, gladness, singing, thanksgiving, praise, being thankful, and blessing his name. Then some objects of praise and thanksgiving. God himself, of course. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him. Bless his name. Notice now, number four, the specific reasons for doing this. They are three. For example, the Lord is good. Oh, all of the benefits that derive out of that. Number two, his mercy is everlasting. And number three, his truth endures to all generations. So here now in the Bible, and this is a very common psalm, typical psalm, we are exhorted to use such psalms as a way of praising God. Now for years, some of the churches of our area have a hymn book where a lot of the psalms are sung, and I think that's wonderful. And now some of our younger people are using stringed instruments, and they're putting a lot of the psalms to little praise choruses, and some of that I like. That's a good way to go. We've got to learn how to take the word off of the page and put it into our life. And the more we do that, the better off we are. Now I'm on the last page. Some exhortations now from the Bible regarding praise and thanksgiving. Here in Psalm 69, David said, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bullock that has horns and hoofs. Now, this is a very significant passage. Let me read my comment, then I want to talk about this. My comment is, this unusual passage is a summary of many in the Old Testament which teach the spiritual objective God had in mind in giving the sacrificial system. What he sought in establishing the sacrifices was what they stood for: confession of sin, faith in the coming Messiah, worship, praise, and thanksgiving. And I say that as we read these verses, we cannot miss the importance of praise and thanksgiving because they please the Lord. Now go back now, top of the page, and look at the passage. Notice that it starts out with the declaration of choice, decision, goal, priority. I will praise the name of God. David had to learn to do that just as we have to learn to do that. This wasn't any more automatic in the life of David than it will be automatic in our life. We have to make the decision. I will do this. Now, we have been given volition, the ability to make choices, and God expects us to use all of that to bring into our life the things that must characterize us. Now, we have to learn to do this. I will, he said. Then it's interesting that he states, I'll praise the name of God. God's name, as you know in the Bible, and we've had we spent 10 weeks working on the titles, the names of God. I'd like to do that again someday. The word name stands for all that God is. And we have pages of the names of God. He is our shepherd. He is our Father. Beautiful titles. He is the great I Am. Well, David said, I'm going to take these names of God and I'm going to worship God by thinking of and praising God for his names. And then he said, I will praise the name of the Lord with a song. He's going to put it into a song. Well, as a songwriter, he could do that. We may be dependent upon other people. And now he says, by doing that, I will magnify him with thanksgiving. Do you see what David is saying here? He's talking about something that if we miss it in life, we are the losers. We bring weakness into our life by missing this. And then to comment, this will please the Lord more than the ox or bullock that has horns and hoofs. We know that the whole sacrificial system of offering the sacrifice, the Levite, the priest, the tabernacle, and later the temple, how elaborate that was. There were literally thousands of Levites and priests. And yet, what God really wanted was what all of that system stood for. He wanted the praise and the adoration, first of all, because he's worthy, and secondarily, because it will bring such great benefit to us if we will do that. Then my last thought here in the middle of the page 45, from the book of Hebrews, by him, that is, by the Lord Jesus, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name, to do good, and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. My comment here, because of the redeeming work of the Lord Jesus, every believer can now come into the presence of God and please him by the worship of our praise and thanksgiving. The divine invitation given to all of us to come and the privilege of being able to do so in the name of the Lord Jesus bestows one of the greatest honors imaginable upon us. Now, we cannot neglect these great honors. We've got to now enter into that to respond to the invitation, to make sure that we have the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to God. Well, I have the comment here at the bottom of the page in the conclusion. It's helpful as we read the Bible to write down the various titles God gives of himself, like Almighty, the many terms whereby he describes himself to us, like rock or refuge, the characteristics of his person, like merciful, as well as the benefits that he brings into our life, like grace or salvation. And then, as we pray, to praise and to thank God for who he is and for all of the ways whereby he has brought his grace into our life. If you will do this, I say, for a few days, it'll become a pattern in your reading of the Bible and prayer life. You will have learned to praise the Lord and to give him thanks. And there are not many things that are more valuable. So let me urge you to think of ways whereby you can do this. Ways whereby you can praise God for who he is, his person, his work, his revelation, his relationships, his benefits, and then to realize all of the provision that God has made, and then to do as the psalmist has exhorted us in all of these passages, to make sure that we do it. As in Psalm 107, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works toward the children of men. Well, I know what will happen in your life if you do this. God will draw you closer into a life of fellowship with him. You will have a tendency to be more positive than negative, and most of us now have a great deal of tendency to be negative people. And we need to learn now not to do that. And the method is learning how to worship God by praise and by thanksgiving. Well, our time is pretty well gone. Let's bow together now in a word of praise. Dear Father, we want to express our gratitude to you for how great you are and good. We want to thank you for your kindness to us in the Lord Jesus Christ and all of the many great benefits of redemption and salvation you brought to us. We're thankful for watching over us now in these last number of weeks as we have been coming and going with the Thursday night Bible class. We pray now as we'll be separated for a number of weeks and months that you'll watch over us and minister to us. Help us to remember to practice the truths that we have learned. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray, and for his sake alone. Amen.
Well, thanks for joining us for this final lesson in our series, Keys to Spiritual Freedom. And we would encourage you to visit our website for the many other topics that are currently available. The address is www.drvictormatthews.org. Online, go to drvictormatthews.org.